Good morning. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, distant travelers. Good morning to the sailors who got done drinking last night. You were in port. You got drunk. You hooked up with Sadie, and now you have a special gift. Good morning, dirty sailor. How the fuck are you doing? Go see the doctor on your ship. It is July the 25th, 2023 Boblimpdoc, almost 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Scompton, Utah. Whatever time it is where you are, dirty sailor, you better get back on board. The ship is leaving soon. There's not a lot of room. Many will be called. Many won't show up. Many are mothballed. Many have been left by the wayside. Can you hear the twinkle twinkle of the summertime creatures? Can you hear the birdies sing? Can you see the children run? Can you see the food for everyone out there on the plantation? Get ready, because Norman Borlaug's gonna send you some corn tips. First topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Once you recognize where you are, then you can understand when you are. Get yourself a map. Go for a hike. Orienteer. Look for the saddle. Look for the hilltops. Look for the ravine. Look for the valley. Once you recognize where you are, then you can understand when you are.
What does that mean, Dan?
Oh, I don't know, buddy. I don't know. What do you think it means? Where versus when? So before I go too deep into this one topic, understand that I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be a Bible expert. I am a Christian and a disciple of Christ, and to the extent that I understand the word, I understand it. But pretty much Jesus and his Father, the Lord in heaven, understand as much, how can I put this? They know how little I understand. They know. But here's an idea to think about when you're considering prophecy. Instead of focusing on timelines, think about the signs of the times. Think about orienteering. You know, when you're out in the woods and you got a map, but you got to figure out where the hell you are? In a lot of ways, biblical prophecy, the prophecy that the Lord gives us, is a lot like a map and not a clock, an alarm clock that goes off. It's kind of important to know where you are first. Where are you in the game? If the Lord says towards the end, people are going to be mostly, probably, giant pieces of shit, and I paraphrase, that tells you where you are. That's one point of information. Not enough, but one point. If the Lord says towards the end, many will claim the name of Christ, but many will be deceiving, that's another point on a map. Along the way, it doesn't really tell when you are, but it might indicate where you are. In this way, I think prophecy is a lot like orienteering. It's a lot like understanding the lay of the land and having a map. And the good news is the good news, the word of the Lord. Well, there's your map. Now you just have to figure out where you're at. Once you recognize where you are, then you can understand when you are. Next topic, because we got a bunch to go through today. Dan, I don't understand. Why don't you think on it a bit, okay? Come back to the Bluehost blog, assuming it hasn't crashed again. It's crashing about every day now. That's because of what? Reliability? That's because of Moore's Law? Is it artificial intelligence? Is it the superiority of technology? Yeah. A lot of you folks are holding on to ideas that do not fit reality right now. You watch a movie and you say, oh Dan, I saw a movie showing a Boston Robotics robot with a shotgun, ergo the robot apocalypse is near, and my proposal is, what if it's just a fucking movie? What if you see a bunch of dudes driving brand new Toyota pickups with M250 cals and NATO chambered rounds and carbines, also from NATO, screaming out of the desert in the spring of, let's say, 2014, a few months after Obama wanted a little war in Syria, but instead, the British said no. If you see them rolling out of the desert in their brand new Toyotas, maybe you should meditate on that. Maybe there should be a question mark. Maybe it's just a fucking movie. If you see an old woman falling over sideways in February 2020 somewhere in China, maybe it's a fucking movie. Maybe it's not real. If someone's trying to scare you about Putin and the Ukraine, maybe it's mostly a fucking movie. Maybe it's not real. If someone's trying to scare you about global warming or something, maybe what you're seeing is a fucking movie, is my point. And there's a lot of that shit going on right now. A lot of low-rent, trailer park, psychological manipulation. Yeah, maybe. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The Avenger was a platypus, just not as functional or elegant. The Avenger was a platypus, it just didn't live that well. An Avenger, Dan? Well, do you know what a Humvee is? So imagine a Humvee, which, by the way, was never fucking designed for Asia. If you've ever spent time in Japan, if you've ever spent time in Vietnam, if you've ever spent time in Cambodia, or in my case, South Korea, what you will quickly understand is the Humvee, you know, the place, the really smart DOD place that is scaring you with Boston robotics, you know, robots. The Humvee was never designed for Asia. I've seen Humvees get stuck in alleys. Okay, that's how wide they are compared to the average, you know, road in Asia. And that's the roads that have blacktop. Those are the roads with blacktop. You get out in the rice paddies, you get out on the dirt roads with that Avenger, and you find out how not ready for Asia that vehicle is. And by the way, the Rock Army, at least when I was in the service, they basically used Jeeps that were roughly designed the same way the World War II Jeeps were. They were more functional. Okay, so full disclosure, a long time ago I was in the Army. A long time ago I was stationed as a second lieutenant in South Korea. A long time ago I was a platoon leader, and I had an Avenger platoon. Six of them, each one with a turret on the back, each Avenger carrying eight Stinger missiles ready to go. Yeah, a long time ago. So you take a Humvee that was never designed for Asia, and you stick a turret on the back. By the way, the Humvee was never designed to have a really heavy turret on the back. A turret with, you know, two pods, eight Stingers, a mounted 50 cal, what, for a joke? And then let's talk about profile. One of the worst things in a tactical situation to have is a high fucking profile. And if you're gonna have a high profile, you better have firepower. The problem with the Avenger is it has a really high profile, but other than being equipped to take down helicopters and, you know, probably fighter bombers, it's not really that dangerous. I mean, can you theoretically fire a Stinger at a ground target? Sure you can. You can do it. Should you do it? Probably not. But Dan, you can use that 50 caliber. You can use that 50 caliber all the live long fucking day. You can roll your Humvee down and engage that T-72. And you'll get wasted in about 5 seconds. The Avenger, specifically for Korea, has the worst of all features. It has a high profile, it isn't really well armored, and because it's mounted on a Humvee, it really isn't designed to go off-road, let alone to go into a city, where a lot of cities have alleys that, frankly, like I said, you drive the wrong Humvee down the wrong alley in South Korea, it's gonna get stuck. Okay? The Humvee was designed for warfare, basically in the Mediterranean and Europe. It was designed for open plains and wide roads. It was never fucking designed for Korea, period, or most places in Asia at all. It's a platypus. But here's the thing. The platypus created by God actually is functional. It's elegant. It looks crazy. Oh my god, Dan, the platypus has a duck bill. It certainly does. Oh my god, Dan, the platypus has got weird hair. Oh, it does. The platypus looks like a beaver and a duck had sex. Well, maybe they did. But at least the platypus is functional. It's elegant for its niche, for its ecosystem. It works. I can't think of one place in the world today where the Avenger works, really. I mean, it's a weapon system, and it can kill people. Do you know what most of our commanders wanted to use the Avenger for? Well, it was for the Stingers. No, the Stingers, you take them out of the pods, you fire them as a man pad. That's the good news. Separate issue. Oh, it must have been the 50 cal. They have better 50 cals, douchebag. What they mostly used the Avenger for was the FLIR. What's a FLIR, Dan? called forward-looking infrared. And so they would set up these Avengers in observation posts. Again, when I was in, I never saw any combat, so this was mostly training exercises, either in Korea or when I got back to the States at Yakima Training Center. And they would use the Avengers for observation. That's how they would use them. They wouldn't use them in any other way because they weren't functional in any other way. So here you have a weapon system that probably costs millions of bucks today. If I don't think they're still making them. Maybe they're still selling them to poor countries who owe us money. But I don't know that anybody, maybe the Marines are still using them. Who knows? But there's no other way to use them. But that FLIR, that forward-looking infrared, it's just powered by the same 12-volt system or 24-volt system. You could pull out the FLIR in the motor pool. You could probably stick it into a, you know, a makeshift compartment and have its own power source, and you would have your FLIR, and you would have a lower profile. And once you remove the FLIR from that piece of shit, there is nothing worthwhile about the Avenger. So when I say the Avenger was a platypus, it wasn't a very good one. And you're saying, well, Dan, why are you going down memory lane? If you want to send me a picture of some super weapon, I don't care if it's a United States super weapon. I don't care if it's a Russian murder torpedo. I don't give a fuck what little fear monkey invaded your skull and started pooping on your common sense. What you need to understand is that the Avenger represents what these geniuses produce. Oh, sure. You probably could have seen a movie back in the 80s showing the Avenger going 60 miles an hour and engaging a target, but that would have been a fucking movie, not reality. Next topic. Oh, Dan, I love the Avenger. You're a shithead, dude. Six-second load time. Eight-second load time. 10-second load time. Bluehost is spinning. 20-second load time. It's spinning here. Let me make a prediction. In about 5 seconds, I'm going to get a database connection issue from, yeah, our good friends at Bluehost. Wow, Dan, you must be Svengali. I must be. I must be a soothsayer. I must be one of the oracles at Delphi. Because at 9:13 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on July the 25th, 2023, I'm predicting that my website's down again. Wow, Dan, you're a fucking genius. And I don't really want to take a segue to gripe about Bluehost. I have bigger fish to fry. I got kind of a nasty message yesterday from a douchebag. And I say a douchebag, probably a paid troll, probably U.S. Air Force. And the only intelligent thing he could say in response to my It Could Be a Zebra podcast was, well, if you're going to be homeless, why don't you go get a job and get some money? There are going to be a lot of really sad motherfuckers standing by their home sometime in the next few months with a little, you know, a little for sale sign, and some appraiser told them from the county that their home was worth $1 million, and they expect someone to come along and hand them $1 million. They're going to be really disappointed. Maybe I should do a drive-by and say, motherfucker, why don't you get a job? Why don't you get some money? So I'm going to do the topics from memory. I have a list. I'm not going to refresh the page. If I refresh the page, everything will be gone. If I refresh the page, everything will be gone. So I'm going to try to do this from memory, and we'll see how it goes. So the next topic has to do with tithing, because yes, my site went down again. Dan, you can predict the future. Can I really? Or maybe I'm simply being treated like a piece of shit. And maybe that's the nature of the game at this point. Most of us, to the people who have the power, are just pieces of shit. And if you happen to be in a home right now, and you say to yourself, well, Dan, I live in nice parts of Seattle, and my government, it's a super city. What? How many times has Rome burned? I don't know. I can't think. Whatever steamroller you think is rolling over other people, it's coming for you too. And yeah, in that Monty Python kind of sense, it might be rolling slow enough that you might think to yourself, well, at least I can't escape. Maybe. So the next topic had to do with tithing, and specifically the relationship between tithing and shaming. I'm not going to click on the link because it simply won't load, so I can't read you the exact Dr. Freckles quote, but here's the deal. Is there evidence from the New Testament and the Old Testament that folks who try to build a church together should contribute? Yeah. Yeah. I believe in the Matthew 18:20 church, by the way. It doesn't require a lot of money. It doesn't require a fancy building. You don't have to have special effects. You don't have to have a rock band. But the one thing I've noticed my whole life with respect to tithing, and this started being raised, it started when I was being raised Catholic, was that little wicker basket that gets pushed around. And the thing about the little wicker basket is it creates a kind of panopticon of shame. People around you will see what you put in. Well, Dan, I put it in the envelope. Sure, but they're going to see the envelope. They're going to see the envelope or the couple of bucks, or they're going to see that you didn't even put anything in. A church that has anything like that baked into it isn't a church. It's a money-making machine. And that's also what I would call the Catholic Church for the last 1,500 years, a money-making machine, a property machine. You should look into how many properties the Catholic Church controls, how much it does have. It has a lot. It has plenty to feed itself and probably to feed billions of others. But instead, it accrues to itself power, money, gold. It accrues to itself all of the various things that an empire needs, but not a church of the Lord. And when they pass the wicker basket around, I think it's on purpose. It's on purpose so that somebody sitting out there in an aisle will feel too ashamed to not put what little they have in. But brothers and sisters, a church that represents Jesus Christ does not shame you into giving something you do not have. There are ways you can volunteer. I went to a church for a while recently in my own personal history. I didn't at times have any money, so I volunteered. There are things you can do to help. But if you are a member of a church that emphasizes tithing and emphasizes it in such a way that you should feel guilty if you don't have money to give, you are not in the right place. They're worshiping somebody there. There might be other good Christians there. That's something the Lord knows. But the building and the minister and the rock band and the espresso shop in the back has zero to do with Jesus. Zero to do with God. Next topic. Well, thank you, Bluehost. I might get through this one pretty fast, right? Next topic. So I worked on a project many years ago at the University of Washington and Harborview Medical Center called Microsoft Amalga. And if you've never heard of it, well, there's a simple reason. Because it was a giant piece of shit, a lot like the Avenger fighting vehicle. It was a platypus, but it didn't function. It had some really great features. For example, it had a polynomial time, meaning n squared search cost, for searching the database. Modern databases using hash tables actually do better than linear time. So the idea that you would take a polynomial time cost, an n squared cost, on searching 250 terabytes of HL7 interchange data, that's fucking crazy. And that was just one of the things about Microsoft Amalga that sucked. It also constantly broke down. Add to the fact that there's something called an infectious disease report. You may not be aware of this, but hospitals in the United States breed bacteria, viruses, microorganisms, and mold, fungi, you name it, way more fucking dangerous than any goddamn biolab you'll ever find. They run a gauntlet. Radiation, chemotherapy, old people with bad immune systems, young people with bad immune systems, and all kinds of bleach because we all know every little creature's out to kill us. Wrong. These particular organisms run a gauntlet. If you had a sample kit and you went to Harborview Medical Center, you could probably bring home and breed on your own shit that's way more fucking dangerous than anything you'd find at a Wuhan death lab. As far as Microsoft Amalga goes, it couldn't reliably produce an infectious disease report. Well, what's that, Dan? That's the report that the nurses use so that they don't put your grandpa or your grandma in the same room post-op that little Jimmy had MRSA in. So that your grandma or your grandpa might actually fucking survive. That's an infectious disease report. Don't put anybody in that room. That room had multi-resistant staphylococcus. Don't put anybody in that OR. That OR's tested positive for dangerous black mold. That's an infectious disease report. And Amalga couldn't reliably produce one every day. Now you'd say, well, that doesn't sound like a huge deal. The numbers 10 years ago was that hospitals, through negligence, through malpractice, killed between 200 and 300,000 people a year. With the COVID, they can cover up a lot of this. Most of those numbers are from something called preventable hospital-acquired infection. The nasty shit. The shit that's breeding on the walls there. Visit the cafeteria at Harborview, shithead. But Microsoft Amalga had the support of cronies. Microsoft Amalga had the support of Bill Gates. Microsoft Amalga is a lot like the voting machines, is the point of the quote I can't read or open up because, you know, Bluehost, technology, AI, so reliable. Right? Microsoft Amalga is a textbook example of how broken not just our government is, but how broken private enterprise is, if such things can be called. I call it a neo-Stalinist hellhole. That's what I call it. You might, well, Dan, it's a mixed economy. That's a nice way of putting it. Like some peanuts mixed into your, you know, into your little Thai stir fry. Let's hope you don't have an allergy, right? Microsoft Amalga was a steaming pile of expensive shit. I remember getting an email from someone that was actually a training NCO when I was in ROTC. And at that time, he was working in connection with TRICARE. And he said, you know, the UW people are coming, and the Amalga people are coming, and they're using you as a success story, Harborview. Harborview was a fucking disaster. It cost too much money, it used too many resources, and the outcomes of Amalga were terrible. They were so terrible that Microsoft schlocked it off to General Electric, and now it's Caradigm Amalga. Like I said, folks, there are still poor countries in the world right now using the Avenger, you know, fighting vehicle, in part because they owe us money. Get it? Got it? Good. Next topic. And I have to skip some of these because, like I said, I can't actually click on the notes right now. Isn't that random? I've talked about this, and I'm not going to read the Dr. Freckles quote because I've kind of emphasized it, though it hasn't been a core subject. A big part of forgiveness is knowing the truth. Nothing in forgiving people requires you to have amnesia. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people, and I've met them, they're grifters, they're gaslighters. They'll say things like, Dan, you have to forgive me, and then you have to forget what I did. Nowhere does Jesus say, when you forgive someone, then you have amnesia. Nowhere. In fact, if you keep forgiving the same person over and over again and they don't learn, you still have to forgive them. But that doesn't mean you have to give them $20. That doesn't mean you have to loan them the fucking car. My naive understanding of Christian forgiveness is in part why I got so fucked in the year 2016 and 2017. I did not fully understand forgiveness. I had people gaslight, oh, forgiveness means you forget everything. No, that's what a manipulator says. That's what a wife beater says. That's what a cop says. That's what Donald Trump would tell you. That's not actually forgiveness. Nowhere in forgiving do you have to erase your memory. Next topic. Well, thank you, Bluehost. You crashed my site. But now I can go through the topic so much faster. This is also the next subject is one I've covered. And so I don't have to dwell on it. It's related to your faith. And it's related to Christianity if you're a Christian. But you can apply this to a lot of different things. Having faith in the Lord and being a Christian on one level does imply being unafraid. It means that no matter what you face, no matter the challenges, you know that the Lord is looking out for you. That doesn't mean that you'll walk down the street and there'll be a pile of gold, okay? Prayer is not transactional. Faith is not transactional. Faith is what connects us to God, and prayer is how we show we have faith and how we show that we know. We demonstrate we know that the Lord is looking out for us, but prayers are not always answered in the way we expect, okay? I prayed in February of 2021 that I would find a place other than Nineveh, other than Seattle, that I would find a place to sojourn, and the Lord provided, not in the way I expected, and frankly, one of his vehicles turned out to be somebody that, you know, I don't trust so much, but the people that actually gave me a place to live saved my life. Now, did I know that this was going to happen? No. But I had faith that the Lord would provide. It's okay to have fear. The Lord doesn't want us to be dumb. If you see a cougar chasing you, you probably should run. And if you have a gun, you probably should use it. But the fact is, the Lord also wants us to be unafraid. When we approach this reality, whether it's a cougar chasing us, a grizzly bear, or, you know, being harassed by police officers. We should approach it as someone who is unafraid. We shouldn't be dumb. We shouldn't pick fights. If you drive a car, you probably shouldn't drive it 120 miles per hour late at night near a small town in southern Utah. That's not faith. That's called being a fucking moron. And I know people like that, or at least I should say I've known people like that. People who think faith is, you can drive a car, Dan, going 100 through the rain when you can only see 10 feet ahead. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's something else. That's a kind of madness. But on a basic level, when we approach our relationship with the world and with God, we need to be unafraid. Okay? Next topic. So this would be a Dr. Freckles quote, but I don't have it memorized, but I'll give you the gist of it. Dr. Freckles would tell you that hacking, computer hacking, hacking a system, any system, mechanical, electronic, computer, hacking in 2023 is more about finding the weak parts of a rickety old shed. Which is to say that we are currently living in a society that is way more fragile than the people who run things would like you to know. It's why they're using Quaker guns, you know, they're painting the logs black. It's why they're mind-fucking you. It's why they want you to believe they're going to have 87,000 IRS agents take all your guns. Because if you knew how fragile this crooked society was, you would find the weak points and you would push the whole fucking thing over. And they don't want that. Not yet. Not yet. It's coming. It's coming, but they don't want it yet. You know. Now, does that mean hacking is easier? A lot of people are dummies. They carry their smartphones everywhere. A lot of people are dummies about their operating systems. And if you don't understand this, probably every CPU and every computer in this country is owned. The NSA has architecture on it. You can run Linux. You can say, well, I run OS 10 or I run Android. Doesn't fucking matter. And frankly, the Snowden shit's a snow job too. It's way deeper than software, asshole. It's in the architecture. No amount of reloading and reformatting any hard drive is going to change the structure of that CPU. So a lot of hackers right now are very fucking deluded. Yeah, they're clever with the Python, and they can do a lot of other things. And, you know, within the rubric of what the deep state will allow, they'll think of themselves as a success. But in reality, I think they're mostly promoting, promoting and to some extent fulfilling the obedience, the structure, the fear of the government. Even the hackers are, and they don't even know it. Next topic. So there's a show called Missing 411. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here because this is related to some things coming up for me. But yeah, I could be on the streets in about 4 weeks. And is it the end of the world? No. Am I a... how can I put this? Am I a damsel in distress? Well, I'm not a damsel and I'm not in distress. I'm a middle-aged burned out hobo. If you think you're going to be clever by making fun of me, guess what, dummy? Already been there, already done that. I've been down the road of having all the respectable people in my fucking friendship family circle call me way worse than you'll ever come up with, U.S. Air Force troll. The show Missing 411 deals with people disappearing in the National Forest. And the thought that occurred to me a week or so ago is, what if that show is designed to keep hobos like me out of the National Forest? Which means it's a psyop. It's designed to create fear. It's designed, well, if you go into the national parks, you're going to disappear. The Wookiee people will take you. The mole people will take you. Aliens will butt rape you if you go to the national park. Yeah. What if that entire series of books, those movies, all of it, is about creating a sense of fear so that the hobos and the homeless people and people like me, you know, all the above, they just stay out of the national parks. You know, if you're in Utah, you'll drive by... the Bureau of Land Management, BLM. You'll drive by BLM and they'll have signs that say, these are your public lands. And it's meant ironically. It's not meant to be taken seriously. If you go onto that land, especially if, I don't know, ExxonMobil is leasing it, you're probably going to get killed and dumped someplace. Especially if you're just a no-account hobo like me. But yeah, what if Missing 411 is not about investigation? What if it's not about digging deep? What if it's about creating a sense of fear that if you as a homeless person go up into the forest, something's going to happen to you? Yeah. Next topic, right? In my opinion, if you listen to my podcast, you know this already. In my opinion, since March of 2020, the people of this country, and probably a lot of other countries, have been exposed to strategic, high-level military psychological warfare. The main variety of this has been trauma-based mind control. And this is important to understand, because trauma-based mind control has a lot of negative side effects. It makes people batshit crazy if it lasts too long. It leads to adrenal fatigue. And frankly, it sets people up for suicide, overdoses, and a lot of other horrible shit that results from trauma-based mind control. And even when these psyops end, and they do end one way or another, you end up with a cult. It's a residue. It produces a cult. It's why, in my opinion, COVID-19 is not best studied in the lab. COVID-19 is best studied by an anthropologist or someone that does comparative religious studies. COVID-19 is not about biology, and after it ends, it's totally about religion. If you see people wearing coffee filters at the airport, probably it's because they adopted the religion. I would also contend if you see parents not wearing masks, quote unquote parents, but their kids are wearing them, you're probably seeing child trafficking. Oh, I'm sorry. Does that not fit with the sound of freedom? Yeah. The residue that military psychological warfare leaves behind more often than not becomes a tiny religion. And it has adherents. Whatever the world looks like in 10 years, and spoiler alert, it's not going to be the Klaus Schwab reset shithead. Whoever is alive in 10 years, you'll be going through the wilderness and you'll come across groups of people wearing dirty ass coffee filters on their faces. Most of them will have tuberculosis. Probably because of the radiation, it'll be a new kind of tuberculosis. You're going to come across these freaks. When the Soviet Union collapsed in the early 90s, there were old babushkas, old Russian women, who pulled out paintings that they kept in their closet of Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin that probably killed somebody's uncle that she knew. Joseph Stalin that probably killed the brother that she knew. Joseph Stalin that led to the deaths between the 30s and World War II of between 30 and 40 million people in the Soviet Union. Most of them were Russians. A big portion were Ukrainians. These old grandmas of Moscow and Leningrad, now St. Petersburg again, these old grandmas pulled out these paintings of Joseph Stalin. And you have to shake your head and say, why? It's the same reason you're going to find in 10 years freaks wearing coffee filters. It's the same reason in 10 years you're going to have freaks injecting themselves with whatever pig urine they can find. Because when a military psychological warfare project ends, when the operation ends, as often as not, it creates a little bit of religion. Not a very good kind, not a good god. And I gotta tell you, there are a lot of lowercase gods, as there are many fallen angels who will step in to make it seem real. But it's not going to be very real. Yeah. Next topic. Thank you, Bluehost, for crashing my site again. Sped things up, right? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If somebody says, I was going to, they never were. If somebody tells you, Dan, I was going to donate, but I listened to what you said, now I'm really angry. If someone says they were going to do something, but they don't, they were never going to. And as Christ would say, let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes, okay? If you're going to say no, say no. If you're going to say yes, say yes. If you're going to give a gift, it can't have any strings attached. And if this seems really confusing, I'm sorry, but this is reality. Thank you. Next topic. I don't remember the exact quote for the next subject, but I will tell you, it's related to something I started noticing 10 years ago. 10 years ago, right about the time my marriage ended, I was working a contract at Microsoft, and it was one of their campuses downtown Seattle off of Westlake. And, you know, people were so excited about the food trucks. Dan, you want to go get lunch at the food truck? Why, sure. Are we going to run into Mel Gibson and the crazy dude with a fucking hockey mask? Humongous. These kids were so excited about the food trucks. They didn't understand what the food trucks meant. They did not understand that the world had changed. They just, oh, damn, I'm going to go with the Thai food truck. Well, good for you, buddy. Do you really think these restaurant folks wanted to be at that point, in that situation? I went to this really nice restaurant in Seattle for breakfast. In 2013, I paid like $20 total. I got undercooked eggs. I got soggy bacon. I got potatoes that were also not cooked. There are a lot of inferior things going on today, and you can call it downsizing. I call it downserving. Whether it's a Maker's Mark bottle that's mostly water, or, you know, seeing a commercial for some type of candy where they're shoving pretzels into it and they're making the pretzel sound like, oh, that's an improvement, Dan. No. Oh, body wash is so much better than regular old-fashioned soap, Dan. No, body wash is mostly water. What you're really paying for with a body wash is the lie. You're paying to be lied to, like everything's okay. But everything isn't okay. The next few subjects, I would have to click into the links and wait for the spinner to tell me that the site has crashed again. And that shows you my trust level, not just of Bluehost or technology, but my general trust level right now. I don't expect anything to work. In some ways, I came into this predisposed to expect to be disappointed. So about 10 years ago, I started telling myself, Dan, change your perspective. Don't get angry when shit fails. Get excited when it doesn't suck. This is good advice, brothers and sisters, at least for the next couple months, or maybe a year. I don't think there's going to be another year of this, but hey, the next few months. Don't get upset when shit doesn't work. If you get upset when shit doesn't work, you're going to be angry 24 fucking hours a day. Don't get upset when shit doesn't work. Get excited when it does. Don't get upset when somebody, you know, says, here's a block of cheese, and it tastes like some type of moldy crap that had been shoved up an elephant's butt. Don't get angry that you bought that cheese at the grocery store. Get excited when you find a block of cheese that doesn't seem like it was shoved up an elephant's butt. Don't get angry when the steak you paid $20 for tastes like something that came off of the, you know, Kentucky Derby. Don't get upset. Get excited when you have a taco that actually rocks. Don't get upset when you go to that Thai fusion restaurant and they serve you cricket powder and they charge you $100. Don't get upset. Get excited. Be happy when you go to that barbecue place that is kind of a hole in the wall, but the people that run it give a shit, and they give you a really good barbecue pork sandwich. That's a reason to be joyous. If you spend your days right now being upset because you were disappointed, you are setting yourself up for failure. Be excited when shit works. I'm not saying you have to go to the same crappy restaurant over and over again. Hell no. Hell no. Just like you should shoot that cougar and you can still be unafraid, you don't have to go and be treated like crap over and over again. However, don't be disappointed because you go someplace nice and you end up with a shitty meal. Don't be. Be excited and be thankful in this day and age when stuff works. Next topic. Because the site is down, I kind of have to end it here. You can thank Bluehost. You can thank GoDaddy. You can thank SoundCloud. You can thank the system. And you could say, well, Dan, aren't you a hypocrite because you're getting upset? You don't know what upset is. When GoDaddy fucked me in late 2021 and I looked for lawyers but nobody actually wanted to or cared about rule of law, I got angry. I got angry. It's a lot like that shithead Derek Chang. And yeah, I'm going to use his fucking name. That shithead at Alaskan Airlines that sexually harassed me. I got real pissed off. And frankly, it was counterproductive. I'm angry about Bluehost, but did I stop my podcast? No. Did I spend the whole time dumping poop on their skulls in that metaphorical sense? No. I moved on. I dealt with it. As I close out this podcast, I'm going to emphasize this point. If you get disappointed because things don't work, you will spend every fucking day disappointed at this point in history. Be excited and be joyful when things do work. If you listen to this podcast and you like it, great! Great news. Before you donate, if you're going to, and it seems like the likelihood at this point is zero, before you donate, listen to the disclaimer. Take care of your food, your water, your shelter first. Before you donate money to me or pay money to the other podcasters of Shittopia, make sure you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter. If you've set aside food for your family and yourself, make sure you've set aside food for your dog. If you have 6 months of food for you and your kids, have 6 months for your dog or your cat or your parrot or your iguana. My special heart is for dogs, but have the food for the dog, okay? Even though a lot of stuff is turning to shit, and I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's simply history. I've begun to suspect in recent months that there's a darker hand in all this. And, you know, I don't think I need to say more than that if you're a Christian. But it's not the end of the world. Even if we were on the verge of the end times, still not the end of the world. Is it crazy? Is life crazy? Life has always been crazy, shithead. Life has always been hard. Life has always been difficult. You might live in a penthouse apartment. Someplace around the world, there's a little boy digging through muck to get a little bit of cobalt so you can drive your fucking Tesla to your hooker's house and give her the nice and fancy. Life has always been hard. Just because you live in a fucking illusion doesn't change that. But it doesn't mean life is hell. And it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. There's still a lot of stuff right now. If you're willing to treat life like an adventure, if you're willing to just go deep and search, there's a lot of stuff right now that isn't crap. There are still business people who are trying to run honest businesses on the Death Star, and they are still trying to provide service. So if you have a little bit of money, do this before you send it to me. Take care of yourself, and I just don't mean in terms of nourishment. That was the food, water, shelter speech. I mean nourishing your soul. I mean go do something that brings you joy. Go do something that brings you happiness. Now is a great time to nourish your soul. Now is a great time to build up your body physically. Yeah, you can do your abs. That's okay. That's up to you. But in addition to doing your fucking abs, nourish your soul. Because now is the time to build. It's a time to prepare. It's probably not a great time to start a new business, no offense. But that doesn't mean people won't try. but now is a great time to take care of your mind as well as your body. If you've done all this and you're a Texas billionaire who rides his horse into town shooting two golden guns in the air, pew, 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 if you got so much money you don't know what to do with it and you've been giving money to what, Brother Stare, whoever that guy is on shortwave, listen, I'll take millions. I'll take millions and I will try to help myself and try to help some others. That's what I'll do. If you donated enough money, I would look out for the people I care about. That is the truth. And if you think I'm a dummy, and I should say, I'd buy a whole bunch of Bitcoin, I wouldn't buy one fucking Bitcoin. I wouldn't buy a fucking Tesla. That's what you need to know. I wouldn't build an army. I wouldn't buy a shitload of guns to do what? I wouldn't do anything to harm others. If I got a big enough donation, I would simply try to help and to be happy. Oh my God, you've discovered my Bond villain plan. So if you want to donate, you can, but you don't have to. It is Tuesday, July the 25th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, almost 10 a.m. in Scompton, Mountain Standard Time. Who knows, Bluehost might have my site up again soon. I mean, they might, and then it will crash again. And at some point when I'm homeless, it'll simply crash, and there won't be a person like me to say, please, Bluehost, bring up my blog I pay for. Please, SoundCloud, I give you money. Please, GoDaddy, I've been a customer of yours for 10 fucking years. I mean, can you imagine how fallen as a nation we are in terms of free enterprise? That the only way people get treated now is like shit, mostly. And if you don't want to be treated like shit, you gotta bribe somebody. Why do I call it neo-Stalinism? So have a great Tuesday. Go out there and have some fun. Look for the gold. Look for the silver. Look for the hookers. Look for the cocaine of your heart. And have a great day.